Welcome to Designed for More, brought to you by Common Reason Ministries and Honey Lake Clinic. Join Dr. Timothy Jennings, a renowned expert in psychiatry, neuroscience, and spiritual well-being, as he explores the connections between mind, body, spirit, and relationships.
Hello, and welcome to Designed for More, sponsored by Common Reason Ministries and Honey Lake Clinic. I'm Dr. Tim Jennings, and I'm joined today by Annalisa Moretto, one of our therapists, and Dr. Tricia Smith, our clinical director here at Honey Lake Clinic. And our topic this morning is the inner world of introverts. And what motivated us to do this program is we received a question from one of our listeners that reads as follows. I was wondering if you might be willing to do a talk for introverts. I'm an introvert. I notice everything and want to be loving and outgoing to all, but struggle because deep down it exhausts me and I find myself not feeling like engaging at all in most large social settings. Is socializing a trait I can grow in, or is it how I am made and because I process so much information constantly and quietly in my own head, I am wired to need quieter, smaller settings? I feel guilty for not engaging others, but find it exhausting and feel a lot of anxiety because rarely do I feel like I can process and say the correct words on the fly. After large social gatherings or gatherings where I must interact frequently with others, I feel like I need to go home and sleep or sit quietly and crochet to regain my energy. I feel physically tired and want to retreat into my own mind. I much prefer being on the sidelines, quietly serving, but not being noticed or drawing attention. I feel like I should be so much more outgoing and engaging with others than I am. So this is our questioners asking about introverts, and you know, maybe I don't know as much about that. I don't know, but I'd like to throw it out. Just what's your initial reaction to the question? It triggered several things in my mind, but I don't want to direct the conversation yet. So what are your thoughts? How do you respond to this questioner?
Well, as you were reading that question, I then had several other questions that I want to ask that person. And that is there a desire for solitude to recharge, or is it a desire to seek solitude to recharge? Because in those moments where that person's being social, is there fear of rejection or shame or how they're being perceived? Are they replaying that conversation in their head at a later time?
Okay, so your questions are going right down the question I had, and I'd like you all to speak to this question.
Yeah.
Is being an introvert the same or different than being insecure? Is insecurity and an introvert the same thing, or are they different?
So I think that there's different. I absolutely think there's different types of introverts. I think there's ones who analyze kind of what they've said in different social settings. That is what I would kind of qualify more the anxious introvert. In social settings specifically. But I would qualify myself as more of a social introvert, which is I thrive with very close friends, but I also need my time to think and my time to sit away and to rejuvenate. But I can also turn it on when I need to in larger situations. But those larger situations are also very draining for me. So I think that there's different categories of introverts.
So this is what I want to clarify, though. Are there, or has the term introvert been used as a psychological nicety where we can feel good about ourselves when we actually have insecurity and fear that we're not addressing? And so we call ourselves an introvert. I'm just an introvert, rather than I fear rejection. I fear criticism. I have, you know, I'm down on myself. I'm worried I'm going to say the wrong thing. People laugh at me. So I isolate for fear of embarrassment, humiliation. If somebody's doing what I'm describing, is that what we would actually call an introvert or not? And when I think of it, I think of an introvert as somebody who actually is really at peace with themselves. They don't have a lot of insecurity, but they don't actually have a lot of, you know, effervescent, outgoing, you know, style or personality. That's what I'm thinking of an introvert. But behaviorally on the outside, the what you call the anxious introvert could look behaviorally the same, but I'm, you know how my mind works. I'm always trying to parse and diagnose but are the drivers, are the motivations they actually the same? So are we actually talking the same thing as an individual heart mind, or just behaviorally looking the same?
Yeah.
I think behaviorally it can look the same, but they're not the same. And I think part of that too is what our perception is of introverts. Like historically, I know growing up, parents, relatives will refer to a child as being an introvert. Oh, they're shy, they're antisocial. And it's like, no, they're selective with their attention. They're selective in who they open up to.
I think shyness is different from being introverted. I think you're trying to say, and correct me if I'm wrong, as introverts and even as children as introverts, they're more selective of where they put their energy into because it can be very draining in social situations. I mean, I would even say society today in school, it used to be where rows of children were in the classroom where they could work independently. Mm-hmm. Now children are placed in classrooms where they're in like sections of four. They're in these little quads where they're mm-hmm. actively working in groups all the time. Yeah. And even things such as math is being taught in a group aspect. And so I think that society today is even looking at introverts as, you know, it's a bad thing.
It's a character flaw.
So if you look at the drivers, the shy person we might be questioning, maybe that's more of the anxious person, fearful of responses, whereas the other person might be valuing or getting their interest, their reward through some internal achievement. In other words, I knew a guy when I was growing up that he actually enjoyed reading the encyclopedia. He enjoyed the learning. And if you interact with him, he enjoyed playing games and stuff too. But if he had some free time, he'd want to go read the encyclopedia because he really loved to learn. Okay. I didn't see him as shy or anxious or fearful at all, but he, you know, I would say he was an introvert, okay? But he could socialize fine if he wanted to. Whereas I've seen others that have that sense of fear of how people will respond, and thus they become wallflowers in social settings. And so, to our questioner, now both could be potentially exhausting. The person who enjoys the reading mm-hmm. and the studying, it might be exhausting to attend to all of the interactive stuff going on. It takes a different type of energy mm-hmm. to listen and respond appropriately, even without fear of rejection, than it does to just, you know, read on your own or do a project on your own. I knew kids that did models and they would love to do their models, okay, et cetera. Thoughts about that?
I can actually relate to what Dr. Smith shared because I can turn it on if I need to, but do prefer the smaller group of friends, those connections, and having some quiet time to myself. And when I think of introverts, I don't think of someone with a character flaw. I think of someone that has identified where their energy needs to be placed or what's energizing to them. So if I'm having a conversation with a small group of people or a very close friend, I'm locked in, I'm tuned in. The depth we can go is energizing. We can have a long, deep, meaningful conversation, and I leave that conversation in some instances actually restored because I'm feeling like that person is speaking directly to me, speaking directly to my heart. Now, if you put me with a large group of people on a specific topic, agenda item that we need to address, can I turn that on? Definitely, I can turn it on. But do I feel drained after? Absolutely. Because those conversations, to an extent, are surface level.
Okay, so we identified people behaviorally looking as introverts, those who are more personality, peace with themselves, no character flaw. They just maybe more of the quiet time. Mm-hmm. We've identified some that look like that, but they're more the anxious person who's fearing, and so they're monitoring. And okay, but now I'm wondering if there's a third, and that is, and it might be a conditioned response by life experiences that a person could become an introvert because a lot of their relationships are with people who are draining, people who are always seeming to be demanding, taking, exhausting, The people who require you to always be speaking into them, build them up, affirm. You know what I'm talking about? You come away from those always exhausted. And it could be individuals. It could be that an organization is always putting more work on you, more. And so it's not that you're necessarily an introvert, but the relationship don't seem to be reciprocal. And so they're one-sided, exhausting, and you condition yourself to realize I need more alone time because I'm being worn out. Is that possible? There's a third category like that.
Well, I wouldn't qualify that as introvert. I would call that more towards not establishing very good boundaries and burnout. If relationships in your life are constantly pulling into you, and if your work situation is constantly pouring onto you, I would just say that's more situationally based mm-hmm. rather than internally a characteristic yeah. of a personality.
But could yes, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. But my point is, behaviorally, could a person modify that become more introverted functionally because they're not getting reciprocal, what you described, that relationship that builds you up. And so they come to interpret and describe that I must be an introvert.
Well, so I would say that I've seen that in relationships. I've seen that with our patients where mm-hmm. they're in toxic relationships and they're constantly being emotionally beat up, where they're shutting down, they're losing their sense of self. But again, I wouldn't call that necessarily introvert.
I agree with you. No, I agree with you. Yeah, yeah. But this is why I'm
trying to differentiate.
Yeah, differentiate what the true introvert is mm-hmm. for people who may be listening and thinking they're the introvert, but they may have something else because we would respond to that differently.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think what I hear you saying is if you're in that circumstance and you're looking, yeah, it's a lot of what am I issue, then it's about personal boundary setting mm-hmm. so that you're not being exhausted. And you actually, whether you realize it or not, described a boundary setting of a sort that you have to limit how many of those superficial, exhausting things and have more of those reciprocal, rewarding experiences. Yeah. I mean, that's a choice too, isn't it? I think maybe we kind of differentiated the anxious, the other. Let's talk about, can we give a real definition now? What is an actual introvert? How would we know? How would a person be able to say if they're listening? Oh yeah, okay. I'm just a healthy person, but I'm an introvert. What's that? What would that be?
Yeah, I mean, I would say some of the qualifications for an introvert would be necessarily how they interact with stimuli. So, do they feel drained in large areas where there's a lot of people and a lot of engagement? Do they feel energized where there's more solitude and time for themselves? Are they more of an internal processor and need time to respond to certain things? Is their creativity and their talents done alone in nature rather than in a group setting? Those are some kind of...
You know, several of those, though, I heard as a significant overlap with the anxious one, though. Do I need more time to process? Yes, sure. But isn't that also the anxious person? They need time because they're afraid they're going to say the wrong thing.
So I think there's a difference, again, between having more time to process and collect your thoughts and then ruminating mm-hmm. In a negative way that puts almost like fear or anxiety in that situation.
So are you saying that the introvert needs more time, not because they're fearful of what people will think, but they have little confidence in themselves and they want to be sure they're right?
Well, I'm not even sure if that's confidence. I would say that
they're slow processors?
They're taking in so many elements that they are trying to put together more formulated thought process.
Yeah, because both of you have identified that you are somewhat more introverted than I am. And I see both of you as highly intelligent, quick on your feet, bright, processing quick. So I don't understand why you would need more time. You're very sharp. You're very quick. You're very bright. Whenever you do respond spontaneously, it seems like you're right on point. So I'm not understanding a need for an introvert. If you guys are actually representative of introverts, why you would need more time? That doesn't make sense to me.
I would imagine, well, I don't want to speak for her, but the depth of your thoughts when you have time to reflect on your own versus just quickly responding in a conversation goes much further.
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm. That of course, that's true. So in a setting like this, does that mean that we can't respond here like we're doing without a long period of contemplation because we might miss a deeper connection? Or are there reasonable, helpful, factual, truthful things that we can respond to quickly?
Well, so I would say that we prepared with questions for here. So we kind of already had a sense of what was going to be talked about. I think that at least helped me kind of formulate some of the concepts walking into the situation. Now, if it was just the three of us kind of shooting from the hip, you know, I would be a little less comfortable. And I think it's comfortability more or less rather than not being able to do something.
And comfortable because you might overlook something. Okay. So, you know, you probably know I do lots of public speaking, and I almost always have open Q&A time where the people are just throwing questions out at me. You know, I answer those questions. It's not uncommon after it's all done and I'm driving home or the next day that a thought pops into my mind and go, man, I wish I would have thought of that at them. That would have been a great additional piece. It's not what I said was wrong, but there's a deeper answer there that I didn't think of at that time. Does that make me then an introvert? Because I'm able to have a deeper connection and a deeper thought at a later time that I didn't think of at that time. I mean, isn't that what my point is? What you're describing, isn't that true for every human mind, even the people that are not introverts? Because that happens to me all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I would say, again, some of these qualities, it's not just one quality. It's you also thrive in a group setting. Mm-hmm. You are very quick to respond. Your brain fires very quickly.
But you guys do too. Look at this.
I don't think as quickly as you. No, but thank you very much. No. But
I think you do. I really do. But anyway.
Yes. Yeah. But I think it's natural for people to think, oh, gosh, I could have said this, or gosh, I could have added to this. But to the depth that we feel comfortable preparing and going into a conversation, I think is a little bit different from extroverts who are just kind of, they thrive in kind of bouncing ideas off of people and growing in those conversations and wanting to be part of those decision-making processes.
And I think that personality type, the extroversion, is like socially desirable.
Mm-hmm. The extrovert?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would definitely say to this person, you know, as they're questioning, is this a good thing or not a good thing? I think that society very much says, you need to be an extrovert. You need to go out and make friends. You need to put yourself in these dynamics, even work situations. It's very much group dynamics. You're put in certain situations where you have to do different things. So introverts, I think, should also be prized in what they can bring in their solitude and how they can, I mean, I think of writers with their creativity. I think of people who can, I mean, I even think about Jesus and Moses who go off into the wilderness to pray in solitude and come out with these beautiful awarenesses to then share with other people.
But that solitude that is what you just described with Jesus and Moses, absolutely essential for our individual, whether you're an introvert or extrovert, that time away with the Lord is a foundational requirement for development and growth. So 100% on that, but I don't know if that's specific to an introvert.
Well, I would say that probably an extrovert would struggle with 40 days being alone in the wilderness. Mm. Because I think extroverts really thrive and need that connection.
So this is where I was going, though, when you guys, the question I have about the introvert is you're describing, you both just have cognitive processes. I want more time to reflect and have deeper, but my hypothesis, and I put that, I use the word on hypothesis, I'm not saying it's a certainty, it's a question, is that the driver is not cognitive. It's interpersonal relational dynamic. It is a feeling state. I'm not comfortable. It's not that I factually need time to process. It's some introverts, the introvert driver is a relational element of exhaustion with people or personal comfort level rather than just the cognitive, I need more time to know the answer. That's a hypothesis I'm putting out there. It's not left brain driven. It's more right brain driven.
Would it be fair to say that we all have different tempos?
Yeah. Again, this is the point. What you know, you're comfortable in some settings, and what is that for? That comfort could be, you know, we've seen patients who have had trauma. and they're not comfortable because of the unresolved trauma. And that's their issue. As they heal the trauma, they actually get more comfortable in different settings. The question, is there an innate personality, hardwiring element where, and of course we would on the extreme say the autistic, clearly a neurobiological wiring element that makes their social connections different than what we would consider the norm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So is the introvert somewhere on that, you know, wiring line where they just don't have that same, you know, mirror neurons or comfort level, and they have to push themselves. They can do it because they're bright, they're intelligent, but it's just not where they feel, you know, the best. They feel much better in that smaller setting. Is it really cognitive, or is there some wiring comfort level thing going on?
Yeah, I think
Without the insecurity stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there may be a wiring comfort level thing. Again, I think it's where we get our energy from and where we feel most comfortable. And so I think in certain settings, people feel more comfortable rather than in others. I don't necessarily think it's an insecurity thing or an anxious thing. I think it may just be how we interact with others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And does the Lord, regardless of we're extrovert mm-hmm. or introvert, generally, if we're following the Lord, lead us in places that are uncomfortable for us? In other words, the extrovert may be led to more of those quiet times where mm-hmm. they need to do more reflection, because if they don't have those quiet times, without that reflection, they don't make the same growth that the Lord has. So the Lord would lead them to places where they're more. And is it possible the introvert, the Lord will lead to places that make them uncomfortable for social expansion? Is that possible?
Yeah. I would also say that, like, the Lord has led me and opened doors to push me in my career-wise, to be put on platforms, to be able to share my talents and my experiences with others. Is that my preference? No, I would prefer not to do that. I prefer to be one-on-one settings or smaller settings doing what I enjoy. But God has pushed me as an introvert to gain different skills to be able to share my talents with others. So yes. Mm-hmm. And do I believe that we should all pause to reflect on different stages or connect with God and get direction and gain wisdom? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So having said that, and I think that is for our development and growth, but as God leads us, the extrovert to the quiet spaces, yeah. the introvert to maybe more socially, you know, expressive places, that doesn't actually probably make the introvert into an extrovert or the extrovert into an introvert. Now, when I want to say that, God is not saying that there's going to be a fundamental change in what you actually, you know, feel mm-hmm. best with. But I think he doesn't want us to necessarily isolate or allow that temperament to impair development. Would you say that's fair to say?
Well, just to clarify, is the assumption that if they're not putting themselves in social situations at a larger scale, that they're isolating?
So first off, your question shifted from my question. My question was, God, will God lead people to those places? Your question was, if they're not putting themselves, okay? In other words, and people, there in stories in scripture where people who love the Lord will try to take initiatives that the Lord is not leading them to take. Mm-hmm. David building the temple is an example, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, and therefore, so, if we're really listening to the Holy Spirit's leading, then he will always lead us in those places where it will be for God's glory and our best good in the landscape of reality, if we could see it from God's perspective. I believe that to be true. So then back to your question, say it again. About if we're not putting ourselves in.
Oh, my question was, if an introvert is not placing themselves in a situation at a larger scale that an extrovert would thrive in, is the assumption that they're isolating?
So my response would be, if they're listening to the Lord and the Lord's leading them, he's going to bring them to places that are appropriate for their development. And I expect there will be circumstances that will be uncomfortable for them, and they will be tempted then to deny that and rationalize that I'm an introvert. And then they won't develop or advance. That is the, for all of us on our journey, the Lord is constantly leading us. And as he leads us, he will always lead us to places for our good that we'll necessarily rub up against things we have found comfort in and will become uncomfortable for us. And that's all of the, you know, basically heroes of the Bible, you see this journey in. And the enemy will tempt us. And so the introvert may find, and this is where there has to be that prayerful discernment. Mm-hmm. Is the Holy Spirit leading me here? Mm-hmm. This God's will? Or is this my friends pushing me? Is this my family's expectations, which are different than the Holy Spirit's leading? Okay. Is this what I believe is actually healthy? Am I resisting what's actually the leading of the Holy Spirit because it makes me uncomfortable and I want to believe that it's just as good to go here? And God is gracious. You see these stories where people will resist because of their own personal struggles. God doesn't abandon them. He will often adapt the narrative, and it goes in a, you know, work with you in a different trail. And okay, but what, it's not the same path he originally had for you. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay. But so then the question about, are we isolating? Now, is there a difference between being introvert and being a social phobic?
Yes.
What's the difference?
Say yes.
What's the difference? Defined for our audience. Huh? I mean, you guys, we all know quickly in our mind, but I suspect our audience might not know the difference. What's the difference?
Well, I would say for social anxiety, obviously there's physiological symptoms that come up for the individual. So there is sweating, heart palpitations, difficulty speaking, stuttering, questioning.
See the smile on my face? You know I'm smiling.
Why are you smiling?
Are you telling me introverts who actually get pushed into maybe a place to have to do a little extroverted behaviors won't have some physical symptoms? They won't have the little butterflies on the stomach, palms sweating a little bit as they have to speak? And does that mean they're social phobic?
I think if they have a speaking engagement in front of hundreds of people, I think those types of symptoms, yes, would be normal. Now, if I'm going to a social setting or a party where I don't know a lot of people, I probably won't have those types of symptoms, to be honest with you. But will I be tired after that engagement? Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. And there can there be overlap? A person's introverted and also socially phobic. And I don't mean phobic to the point of disordered, but they have... Are these mutually exclusive? You're either one or the other. You can't have some of both.
Well, that's why I would say that that category is the anxious introvert.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's not to a mood disorder where it's generalized anxiety, or it's just in social settings where I'm kind of questioning some of these things, which drains my energy a little bit more because my mind is constantly thinking.
So the questioner also raised in my mind a potential trap that the devil can throw on people. You know, I think we've already identified that we have different biological temperaments that have nothing to do with righteousness or sinfulness. You know, a biological extrovert or an introvert has nothing to do with, it's a temperament, okay? But the devil could get a person who maybe is an introvert biologically, has a good heart, wants to help people, and get them to believe a lie that they're not as good as others. They're not living up to their potential. They're not doing the outward extroverted ministry stuff, and therefore they're feeling guilty or bad.
Or not fulfilling their potential, as people would say.
Right. I mean, it's so the problem. The questioner kind of maybe suggested some of this could be going on in the way they frame the question. A person with an introverted temperament. There's nothing wrong with that, but if they believe a lie that I shouldn't be this way, I'm bad for being this way. If I pray hard enough, I won't be this way, etc. But the Bible actually teaches that within the church, there the metaphor of the body. You know, some are given these gifts and some are given those gifts, and all of us are not the hand and not the foot or the eye or the ear or whatever. We all have these different abilities, and within the body of Christ, we need those who can get up and do speaking or do music or I'm telling you, I'm not musically inclined, but we also need those people who actually enjoy the quiet spaces, and the the writing, the preparing of the bulletin, the cleaning of the church. I mean, aren't you glad you come to a church and the bathrooms are clean? Okay. I mean, we need people who maybe really thrive doing the quiet work that doesn't get all of the applause every week.
Yeah, the cameras, the lights, the behind the scenes.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. And so I would tell that person that you go to the Lord with yourself, present ourselves living sacrifices, and ask the Lord to open the avenues where you are called to minister, and not let the social or external expectations, and don't compare yourself to others. What do you think about that idea?
Absolutely. That's what I was trying to emphasize with the responder, that we all have special gifts and talents. I mean, I work at the nursery at church so that others can attend, so that young mothers and young fathers can attend. I don't have to be in the front line, but I am serving in a way that serves others. And that was my calling. And so I would say to this person, you know, understand who you are, understand who your values and gifts are. And yes, have that time to yourself and time with God. And if God leads you to push yourself in different avenues and to grow some different skills, then follow that, but also honor who you are and who God made you to be.
That's well said. Living, just being authentic to who you are.
And then the aspect of not focusing on the self, focusing on the mission, focusing on, you know, bringing glory to the Lord, or focusing on, in your case, helping the kids. Okay. If you're in there helping the kids, that's, you know, I'm working with the kids this weekend, but your whole focus is, I wonder if people think I'm doing a good job in here. That's very stressful. Mm-hmm. If your focus is on actually the kids and they're smiling, what's going on with them, you don't even think about that. Their stress goes way down. And this neurobiologically is when you're focusing on like the kids or helping others, you're activating your love circuits, which calms your fear circuits. When you start focusing on self, you actually inflame your fear circuits. You get more anxious and stressed. And so, you know, whether the person's the anxious, you know, shy person or the true introvert, if you find yourself in that place where it is a genuine call, the Lord's leading you, or it's a need, focus on the Lord, focus on the mission, focus on the way you can be a blessing to the others and how you can help them. But if you turn the focus on yourself and focus on, well, you know, am I doing a good job? Well, am I messing up? Will people like it? Will they not like it? Then that actually makes your anxieties go way up. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah.
Well, are there emotional or mental health risks that introverts face that might be unique to introverts that maybe extroverts or non-introverted people don't face? What might those be? Mental health risks, and there will be some that are going to, of course, be across regardless of personality structure. But are there some that the introvert struggles with? Maybe.
I think one thing that just comes to mind is being misunderstood. Feeling misunderstood leads to the feeling of loneliness. Feeling of loneliness, eventually, are we on a path towards depression? I know I went from like 0 to 60 there, but imagine living in a world where you're feeling things at a great depth, you'd like someone to process with, but you don't have that connection or you don't have that safety with anyone.
The introvert.
Yeah.
Or the space to do it.
So being misunderstood, what kinds of ways might introverts commonly be misunderstood? What might some common misunderstandings for an introvert be?
People perceive that they want to be alone.
Is it not true?
It's a balance. There's great benefits in having solitude and time to reflect. But my impression of introverts, as I identify as one, is wanting to have a deep connection and having a deep connection with a person, not a large group of people.
So would it be, taking off on that theme then, mm-hmm. what do you describe then if the introvert finds much of their time is in settings in large groups and not getting time with the one-on-one situation, would they experience frustration? This is frustrating. I can't get to know people. I can't connect with people. Would frustration be something they would struggle with?
I think that's appropriate because I actually hear that from my patients because we have different group sizes here at the clinic. Some group sizes are much larger than others, and they really appreciate the smaller process groups because they're like, I have an opportunity to sit in a room with six other people or five other people and get to know their story, get to know them at an emotionally intimate level that I just can't in a larger setting.
I'm wondering if there's an element of competition that the introvert doesn't feel they can compete with the extroverts in the larger group, and they need less competition to actually feel valued, heard, and thus they are more stressed or anxious because they, using the things that you said earlier, aren't thinking as quick, take longer. This conversation moved past them before they're ready, and now they're like 8 seconds behind everybody, and thus they don't feel like they can compete in the larger group. I'm not saying this is true. I'm spinning off my head, hypothesizing here because I don't think I've ever really experienced this.
Well, I think as an introvert in certain settings like that, I think that I've accumulated some skills to help in those things. If we've had a director's meeting or a meeting where we've gathered some minds and talked about different topics, I will often follow up with individuals of, I know we talked about that topic and I had some ideas about that. Do you want to sit down and have a conversation or do you have some time where I could grab you and we can bounce off some ideas? Or I'll do a follow-up email of like, hey, we had that conversation, but these were a couple of thoughts I had after that might be helpful in this situation. Mm-hmm. So I think it depends on how you function in those settings.
So, you know, it's one of the things I appreciate about you, though, is that you're, you know, and this is a difference of strengths and weaknesses, and the idea of the body of Christ. Again, we bring strengths and weaknesses. But, you know, you're very thoughtful, very contemplative, and thinking through elements of detail that maybe somebody who's like just zipping past it might miss. Okay. And I appreciate that very much about you. But the situation you described from my question was not a social situation in the sense of it was a business situation, it was a work situation. And so, you have an assigned role, you have assigned position, you have assigned expectation, you have assigned lines of authority. So it's very structured, which makes that a different relational dynamic than the open social situation. And so in that view, you have a certain security in the business sense of your role, your place. You're not competing for that job, that space. My view was, my question was really more a little wider open in that social setting where there's lots of people and there's not defined spaces. Mm-hmm. Is it harder for the introvert to compete for those spaces?
I think the introvert's actually spending a lot of time, as you mentioned, looking at the different details, really reading the room. What is the dynamic here? So I'll use a dinner party, for example. You've got a group of people together and there's a couple of them that are, you know, going back and forth. They're not agreeing on something, whatever that may be. And the introvert's sitting there and they're just taking it all in and they're seeing this unfold and they're seeing the miscommunication happen in front of them. And in that moment, they make the decision, I'm not going to intervene or say this thing that I think will be deeply helpful because that person is just not in the headspace to hear it. So I'm going to follow up with this friend of mine after and say, okay, so when this happened, this is what I observed, if you're willing to hear it.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I value that. I'm not going to disagree with that. I'm only going to say, though, I don't see that to be an exclusive introvert trait. That's just wisdom. That's wisdom. I mean, that's very wise. I see the introvert doing that for sure.
Yeah.
But I've done that many times. That very thing. This is not the time to say that. I can see they're not open for that. I'll talk to them about them later. So I think that's great wisdom, but yeah. I don't necessarily, you know, bucket that into that's an introvert versus extrovert wouldn't do that. An impulsive extrovert might not do that. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a little different. But a person who's extroverted and also has some, you know, impulse control and a little wisdom would I think, recognize that and apply that. So I appreciate that. You mentioned the idea earlier of introverts sometimes, you know, having quiet time, writing and so forth. And so the question has come up, is introverted personality structure and temperament connected to creativity or spiritual insight? You know, I have my thoughts on that, and I think I have data on that too. But what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I think for an introvert, having that quiet time is essential. Now, what they choose to do with it really depends on them. I'm just thinking about the arts or the jobs that take a lot of alone time. And so I'm thinking about writing. I'm thinking about data entry. I think accounting, yes. Where they're
engineering,
yeah, or working on something artistic on the computer where it's just them, or art, period. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a singular person type of thing that they need to spend a lot of time looking internally, mm-hmm. and then producing whatever God has inspired them to do.
And I love what you just said there, okay? And if hope our audience caught it, because I think creativity is, we are made in the image of God. And I think everybody's creative. And I think the extroverts are creative. I think the introverts are creative. And so the introvert, what they do with their time might be very creative, but they could also do things that are, you know, maybe just reading fantasy novels and not create anything. Okay. So I wouldn't make that simply you're a creative person. You must be an introvert. Right? No, a creative person, just because somebody's very creative doesn't let us know, in my view. I think for the introvert, though, I think for the creativity to really manifest, they will need their quiet space.
Well, I will say as an introvert, there's a reason I chose this profession, because I thrive on one-on-one or small group relationships. So as I think about introverts, and with your question, you know, do they need that time? I think that introverts tend to go to professions in their careers where it's either a small group setting or whether it's a singular type of engagement with themselves to produce whatever it is they need to produce.
So you're saying it healthy decision making for one's life to thrive is to actually know one's temperament, personality, and then make some intelligent choices to navigate your life into a place where, you know, you can be yourself. And use your skills as God has given you, and limit the, you know, being pulled into those uncomfortable spaces where you don't function as well. Is that reasonable to say? So do you have any advice on introverts' conflict management? Do they do it any different than anyone else, or is it the same? Is there any, you understand my question. There are general principles that are going to be necessary. Truthfulness, whether you're introvert, will always be important. But are there a particular aspects that are important for introverts in dealing with conflict? And let's talk about, you know, family and close relationship conflict.
Yeah, I will absolutely say that an introvert probably needs time to process.
Okay.
Where if they are with a partner or a family member who needs an answer right now to alleviate some of the anxiety of the discontent, that's really hard.
So right there, any suggested steps in coping, communication, little quips, things you can throw out for our audience? Yeah, I'm that introverted person, and my spouse is so extroverted, and when we have tension, they're like, you know, and I'm trying to get my space to think about it, and they're following me around the house. I can't get that space, and they're demanding an answer. And if I give an answer right now, it's usually one that I would have given, not given if I'd had my space. Am I describing a
typical, yeah, so relationships?
So what would you advise that introverted person, any intervention they could bring to bear in their relationship that could be adaptive, helpful for them to navigate that space?
Absolutely. In couples and marriage counseling, a good rule of thumb is that when emotions get elevated, maybe it's not the right time to have the conversation. Maybe both parties are exhausted. Maybe they've got responsibilities that they need to go to. They can employ a 24 or 48 hour rule, like time out. We've got things to do. We're a little elevated here. I need time to process. Let's revisit this in 24 hours or 48 hours, depending on the couple and their needs. And then they come back to the topic or the concern, and they're better able to address it, whether if they're an introvert and had time to process, or whether they were just elevated or not in the right space to receive that information at the time. So this could easily be a rule or a guiding rail for a couple or people in a marriage.
So in that if they use it as a rule, mm-hmm. then that would be implemented mutually at some point in time when they were not in the middle of a debate. Prior to that, they get together and say, hey, you know, there'll be times when we'll have issues to discuss and we want a great outcome. Either one of us have the, we're going to set, can we agree that either one of us can call for a pause, a timeout for 24, 48 hours to reflect and think. Can we agree to that? So that would, you set that rule up though in a...
Beforehand.
Yes.
Yes.
Another suggestion, if you haven't had that rule, would be in the middle of it to say to your partner, you know what? You are so important to me. And I love you so much. I want to give you the absolute best answer. And right now I need time to reflect. My brain is not processing. Maybe it's 11 o'clock at night. You need my whole brain, not half my brain. And it's not on right now. And you deserve better than that. Let me sleep on it. Let's talk tomorrow, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And frame it in the sense of I'm pulling back, not because I don't care, but because I do care, because you are important to me. That often can mitigate some of that, because I think the concern is that fear is you don't want to talk to me. You don't want to resolve this. You don't want to, and it flames the fear to actually speak directly to that. And the reason why is I want to reconcile this, but I'm fatigued. I'm tired. I need time. I need my space to really contemplate these things. Mm-hmm. And if the person doesn't give it to you, that's an indicator of something else. If it's just an extrovert introvert, the person is moving faster than you, and you say that, they'll go, that's fair. If there's a disagreement and you say that and they go, that's fair, that lets you know they're a pretty reasonable, mature person, and they understand they want that. But if they say, no, we need to do it, and they keep pushing, what that is telling you is they actually don't want you to reflect and answer. They want you to acquiesce. Mm-hmm. They want to control. They want submission.
Absolutely.
Okay. And that's a different animal, and you should recognize it for what it is. And then you should. And when we set boundaries in governance of self. And the boundary is your own emotional boundary that you say, you know what? I'm going to give them freedom to be mad if they need to be. I'm going to give them freedom, and I'm going to remove myself then. And then you go, look, you can give me the space that I've asked for because I love you and I want to flex on it. If you don't, I will remove myself to get the space. And if you want to be mad, I love you enough to let you. But the trap would be arguing, and they will, you know, you try to argue to get them to keep a boundary that you want them. And if you fall into the trap of trying to get them to give you the space when they won't, okay, then you're not actually setting boundaries anymore. The boundaries that we set are always really with ourselves. You communicate them to other people. You can request other people, will you give me some space? That's a request. But if they say no, you can't actually enforce that. So then you enforce the boundary in yourself and you remove yourself.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to everyone? Yeah. Okay. Do introverts tend to be isolators?
I feel like I've talked about this or touched on this already. I would not describe an introvert as a person that's solely or primarily isolated.
So if you're seeing an isolator,
mm-hmm.
a person who isolates a lot,
yeah.
You wouldn't want people to go, they must be an introvert.
I'm just...
Because if you think introvert, you go, that's just an introvert. It's okay. But the suggestion here is isolation and being introverted is not the same. Introverts like contained one-on-one engagements and connections. Isolation is a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts, anything you want to share on people who may be isolating? First question, long-standing, lifelong, something changed. They're isolating they didn't used to. That's a big, lifelong isolators might be more on the spectrum. If they're isolating and at peace and they don't seem distressed by it, then there's the isolators who are distressed by it, but they still do it. That may be your social phobics, fear of rejection, some type of fear of intimacy. Maybe they had trauma issues or exploited, and they want connection, but they're too fearful to have them, so they isolate to feel safe. Okay, it could be something along those lines. This is somebody who's isolating for long periods of time. Somebody who is newly isolating, telling you there's some new events happening in their life. Maybe they've gotten into drugs. Adolescent starts isolating, never been isolated, now isolating, okay? What's happening? Could be an indicator of an adolescent girl who starts isolating, maybe she got assaulted. And she's ashamed, not hers, but that's the way they feel. It's not her shame, but it's not uncommon for that to be the way they feel, right? And they then isolate because they feel bad about themselves. And so it's an indicator, maybe they have depression. And so if you see somebody newly isolating, then that would be an indicator to go and reach out and make a connection, the people in your life that are doing this, and inquire what's going on. Something's changed.
I think you make a very good point. All of those scenarios that you just listed, usually isolation is the first indicator of them starting to go down a bad spiral. If I talk with any of my patients, they put their warning signs, isolation is one of them, that a crisis is brewing or that they're going to start spiraling into a negative place with any of those scenarios that you gave. Usually the first one is isolation, kind of pulling away and pulling inward.
And any suggestions, and as we wind this section up, on things family or churches can do that would benefit and or help the introverts in the community thrive? How about invite them to a podcast?
Yes, thank you for inviting us on this podcast, Dr. Jennings, so that we can support the introverts just like us.
I think one message is, making sure that in how you interact with them, it doesn't come across as you believe that that's a character flaw. That's who they are. We all have different tempos. So how can we create a space that allows them to thrive based on their gifting, their talents, while being authentic to themselves?
Okay, so, and aren't there lots of those types of spaces in a church community?
Absolutely are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I can think of, in my ministry, we have so many really wonderful behind-the-scenes people that are beautiful, loving, caring, love the one-on-one conversations, never want to be up front, okay? Mm-hmm. But they're not fearful, insecure people. They just, they thrive in that quiet ministry behind the scenes. Yeah, yeah. Alrighty. Hope you enjoyed this program today. If you have questions, send those in to questions@designformore.net. Questions@designformore.net. And we'll see you again next time.
Thank you for joining us on Designed for More, brought to you by Come and Reason Ministries and Honey Lake Clinic. Also, don't forget to check out our other podcasts for more inspiring content.